That's right. Philippians 3:10. Please open your Bibles at Psalm number 84. The 84th Psalm. We're just looking at these favorite Psalms, meditating a little on these wonderful topics. Tonight I want to talk to you about God's prescription for real, true, lasting joy. God's prescription for real, true, lasting joy. Psalm 84. And verse number 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yet even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yet a sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, there she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, that in also fills the pool. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For again thy court is as in a thousand. The French verse makes a change and says, a thousand elsewhere. For again thy court is as in a thousand elsewhere. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will even hold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Now there you have God's prescription for real, true, lasting joy. There are five ingredients in this particular prescription. Firstly, you have the recognition of God in the life, in verse 1. The recognition of God. In verse number 2, you have the desire for God. The desire for God. In verse number 6, walking with God. Walking with God. In verse number 8, talking to God. Talking to God. And in verse number 12, trusting in God. Trusting in God. Now there you have God's divinely inspired prescription for true, real, lasting joy, the recognition of God in the life, the desire for God moment by moment, and then walking with God, talking with God, and of course, trusting in God. Now we're going to take the first ingredient tonight and have a look at it, the recognition of God in the life. I trust all in this very fine, intelligent congregation have really come to recognize the Lord living in their heart. I trust you're able to say, Christ liveth in me. I trust you're able to say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Do you know that joy tonight, dear one? The member of the psalmist said in Psalm number 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. The revised verse makes a change and says, the fool has said in his heart there is no God for me. He believes there is a supreme being, a mastermind behind this wonderful universe, but he's not willing to recognize that God as his God in his life day by day. But only a fool would talk like that. But in this congregation tonight, I am quite convinced in my own heart, each and every one of us here look up and say, Lord, I know thee, a living reality, and we're recognizing this God in our life. I want to give you five little keys that you can remember, a little cluster of sweet seeds First of all, in verse number 1, we recognize him as the God of power. The God of power. Notice it says here, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of Baal, the God of power. We want to recognize him as such in our life now. Verse number 3, we recognize him as the God of provision. He provides for the sparrow. He provides for the swallow. He is the God of provision. The same verse, we recognize the God of preeminence. The God of preeminence. He is my Lord and my King. Isn't that lovely? My Lord and my King. Verse number 8, he's the God of purpose. The God of purpose. Remember it says, O God of Jacob. It does not say, O God of Israel. Oh no. He says, O God of Jacob. And here we have God's great purpose. And we're recognizing him as the God of purpose as tonight. Then verse number 11, he's the God of protection. He's our sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. Grace is glory in the bud. Glory is grace in full bloom. Isn't that lovely? And so now we have this recognition of God as the God of power. Remember in John chapter 1, verse number 12, we read, "Such many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power, the dynamic, the dynamos of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 24, "God has made unto us Christ to be the wisdom of God and the power of God." So this power is not coming apart from Jesus Christ. This power is Jesus Christ. Let us take that through just for one moment. Remember again the Holy Scripture. "To as many as received him, to them gave he power." I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. God has made Christ be unto us the power of God. So that still before your heart, may I go now to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 19 through verse 22. Now I want you to come closer with me now. They want to draw near to those awe-inspiring, breathtaking words. They want to hear Paul breathing out as he prays, "God, by the exceeding greatness of his power," not by the greatness of, but by the exceeding greatness of his power, "which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and placed him far above all principality and power, might and dominion, name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, with all things under his feet, given him to head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, who fills all and in all." Now come back with me, will you? And I'll go slow because these are awe-inspiring words. Can you hear that great warrior saying, "God"? And we tonight are recognizing this God, who by the exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead. So it is a liberating power. It was a bodily resurrection from out among the dead. It was not a mere spirit or temple or arrow. It was a bodily resurrection. Christ said, "Handle me and see. A spirit of not flesh and bone that you see me have. Handle me," says I myself. "Handle me." A liberating power. Now get the picture. "And place him far above all principality and power, might and dominion, name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." Now get the picture.
There you have an elevating power. The Christ who went down so low, right down the very lowest depth, is the one now whom God has raised from the dead, and exalts him and extols him. And can you see all heaven's high arching, all the angelic hosts, the cherubim and the seraphim, the standing there as a great God of honor, and this mighty conqueror, still bearing the marks of Calvary's passion, and his hands and feet in that spear riven side. Can you see him now falling right in through those pearly gates, riding through that great God of honor? Can you see him going up, 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 up? Far above all, far above all, Jesus the crucified is exalted far above all. Kingdoms may rise, kingdoms may fall. Jesus the crucified is exalted far above all. And look, he thinks, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now, from the fight return victorious. Every knee to him shall bow. Crown him, crown become the mighty victor's brow, that know his beloved is far above all distinction. Principality, power, name of his name is far beyond all description. Every name that is named is far beyond all dispensation, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Oh, beloved, did you get those three little G's? I want you to get them. God placed his son far beyond all distinction, description, and dispensation. It's far above all. Not only is it a liberating power, not only is it an elevating power, but hallelujah, it is a subjugating power. For he put all things under his feet, and given him to be head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Now have you got the picture, beloved, in your own heart? We recognize him to another as the God of power, and God placed him far above all. Friend, can you tell me where that is? Can you tell me what that means? You might bring a great theologian like a John Nelson Darby, a great scholar like a William Lincoln or a William Kelly. You might bring a great evangelist like a D.L. Moody, the prince of preachers like a Charles Haddon Spurgeon. You might bring a great orator like a Talmage, and you could put them all before you and say, please, can you tell us what this means? God placed his son far above all. They would bow their hearts in worship, and they would adore, and they would revere, and they would give thanks at the very thought that God placed his son, the one whom men rejected and despised and said it not, and put upon a Roman cross and crowned him with a crown of thorns. Oh, hallelujah. God has placed him on that rainbow circled throne. He's given him the highest place that heaven affords. He's put a crown of pure gold upon his kingly brow. He's given another wreath. He's given the scepter, the royal scepter, and the authority to wield that scepter. Yes, tonight, beloved, we bow before him. We worship and we adore his power above all. Yes, I bow before him, so does your heart tonight. But pause. You know, in my meditation just now, and in my quotation from Holy Scripture, I missed out one little phrase. And you know I did it purposely. Now let me go back. Get it? God, by the exceeding greatness of his power, now you listen carefully, to us word who believe. That's what I missed out. Now, did you get the picture? Friends, do you recognize tonight as a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, and having received him as your own Lord and Savior, all the risen power of the risen Christ is at your disposal and mine? The very moment we're born again by the Holy Spirit, all this power became your power and my power. This liberating, elevating, subjugating power came into your very being the moment you were born again. And yet so many Christians go around like paupers when they can be spiritual multimillionaires. They go around like spiritual weaklings when they can be spiritual giants. Oh, may God give us grace to enter into a night to the recognition He's the God of power. And this God of power now operates in your life and in my life. Romans 1 verse number 16, may I quote it again? Paul said, I am not ashamed. He's standing out and saying with the Holy Ghost, yet with great humility, I am proud of the gospel of Christ. It's a dynamo of God unto salvation, not merely a stick of dynamite igniting and there's a devastating blast. Oh no, he knew that. Thank God he knew that. He knew the devastating blast in the gospel, shattering the chains of sin forever. But my friend, in the word is dynamo. And there a dynamo came into your life. A dynamo supercharged. And that's what the Bible said, we are kept by the power of God. Through faith unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It's not a case of believing historical facts concerning Jesus Christ. Not the case of believing statements or doctrines concerning Christ. I must receive Christ into my life. Before I receive Christ, I know no power whatever. I can't live the Christian life. I can believe this book from cover to cover, and I do, praise God. But that will never save my soul nor your soul. There must be submission to the authority of Jesus Christ. I receive Him into my heart. And the moment I receive Him, I receive power. Power. Lady not very far from here. Very wealthy lady, in fact. Women I led to Christ at 74 years of age. She had been brought up in a certain group of Christians. And as a child, she had been received into that particular church. She had been baptized by immersion. She grew up to be a lady 74 years of age. And that woman one day said, I want to see you come to my home. So I went to her home. She broke down. She said, Mr. Bartle, I've never been saved. I've never been saved. And I looked at her and said, what do you mean, dear one? She said, I've never received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I can see now why there's been no power in my life. I can see now why I gave my husband such a hard life. I can see it all now. I had no desire for the Word of God. I had no desire to pray. I had no desire to witness to others. I had no desire to be given to hospitality. And when my husband invited people home, I used to be very annoyed about this. See, I can see it all now. I never received Christ as my Lord and Savior. Can you all of historical facts? She knew all the doctrines regarding salvation, but she had left Christ standing at her heart door. She had never received Him, and she had been trying to live a life she didn't possess. But oh, hallelujah, that morning we bowed together in their own drawing room. She came right through for the Lord Jesus Christ. She opened her heart to the Son of God's love. And my friend, she became the possessor of life, which is life indeed. She became the possessor of life, which is eternal life. She received power by receiving Christ into her life. Some of the brethren wrote to me sometime after and said, we're all examining in our hearts to see if we are in the faith or not. There has been such a transformation in our dear sister's life. My friend, now she began to live. Christ began to live His life through her day by day. She received the power that's in Jesus Christ. You can't live a life you don't possess, my friend. And sometimes we wonder why there's no power, wonder why there's no desire for the Word of God, no desire for prayer, no desire for witnessing. Is it because we have never received Him into our heart? Oh, may God help us to recognize the first ingredient of real, true, lasting joy is the recognition of God, not in heaven, but by His Spirit living in my heart. Living in my heart. Life begins when Jesus it comes in. That lady said for me sometime afterwards, she's known to some folks here, she's now with the Lord, all rejoicing in His presence, but God gave her grace to witness for a long time after that. She sent for me to say, Mr. Boswell, she got to know me as Jim. Said, Jim, I understand you're going to Europe. I said, who told you that? She said, I heard that the other day. And she says, I want to pay all your expenses through Europe. And she gave me a check for $3,000. I can't thank God enough
for what he's done in my life through the ministry. That Christ with it in me. And she didn't know I hadn't got a cent toward that trip. And I'd booked to go. She didn't know that. But the Lord knew that. And see what happens? When the Lord opens a man's heart, or a woman's heart, everything's opened up to the Lord Jesus. Isn't that true? True. It's a wonder of it, my friend, tonight. The reality of this new life in Christ Jesus, and in the closing moment of this great conference, what I understand is in a great season of conference here, let me ask you lovingly and tenderly, are we each one tonight conscious and in the full recognition that Christ by His Spirit lives in my heart? There is a first ingredient of real, true, lasting joy. It's not coming on the external. It's someone living on the inside. And that one is Jesus Christ. The wonder of it all. I must hurry down to verse number 3. We recognize Him now as the God of provision. We were dealing a little bit with this morning because we are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, as we looked at the joy of love life, here again. Notice what it says here. And I love this in verse number 3. Yea, the sparrow is found in house, and the sparrow swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even nine altars. Now notice the title, O Lord of hosts. He's not only the God of power, but hallelujah, He's the God of all provision. See, when He saves us, He provides for us, just like the shepherd and the sheep. He provides for us all through the desert journey, right into the Father's house. All the wonder of this, my friend. Little boy in Scotland one day was repeating Psalm number 23 at a Sunday school treat. Elizabeth III, being on the platform, he said, the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh dear, he forgot. The 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. Again, he forgot. The 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. He said that enough. I mean, well, isn't that good theology? Is it not? The Lord's my shepherd, that's good enough. Isn't that true? The woman in London got his eye of Christ, but one eye more. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now you come with me for a moment. In Romans chapter 8, verses 16 through 17, it says, if a child, then an heir. An heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Now notice the expression, a joint heir with Christ. Now you go to Philippians chapter 4 and what do you read? My God shall supply all your needs, not your greed, but your needs, according to, not out of the abundance of, but according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Then Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Now get the 3 verses together. We have joint heirs with Christ. Every need supplied in Christ. Blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. You say, what more do I need than that? Ah, the Lord is hilarious in His giving. He's lavish in His giving. Oh, He's just so cheerful in His giving. And what does it say now in Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10? Oh, may I come closer with you here now. Listen to them carefully. Paul says, it pleased the Father that in His Son should all fullness dwell. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily is treasured up in His beloved Son. And you know what the very next verse says? He looks into your heart. He looks into my heart, and you know what He says? And ye are complete in Him. Isn't that just marvelous? It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And now He says to you and to me, sinner saved by this, why, you're complete. You're made full. You're lost in all the fullness that's treasured up in Christ. And all that Christ is to the Father is yours tonight. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Aren't you glad you're in Christ? So what? That's another weak amen. But there it is. We know the joy tonight of that new life in Christ. Don't we, dear children of God? I'm sure. Now you come a little closer. and said, I am heir, a joint heir with Christ. Every blessing supplied in Christ, every need for time, present, and for all eternity, supplied in Christ. And now he says you're complete, you're made full in Christ. I was talking along this line at a conference in Massachusetts some time ago at a place called Methuen. Mr. Richard Hill, who's now with us all, was one of the other speakers. And I never forget this in all my life. A few nights afterward, I was there for 10 days, speaking for 10 days in San 84. I'm not doing that here, so don't you worry about that. But here it is, and this lady came up to me after one of the meetings, I think it was a Tuesday night, and said, Mr. Basil, says, you know, my mind's been reeling ever since Sunday afternoon. When you told us that we were joint heirs with Christ, I stopped and said, dear sister, I never told you that at all. Oh, yes, you did. I did not. So what do you mean? I said, the Holy Spirit said that I'm only the mouthpiece. And the Holy Spirit said, you're a joint heir with Christ. Oh, but did you know something? My mind's been reeling ever since then. So what do you mean? Do you know this little planet in which we find ourselves living? I think of all the nickel, the copper, the iron, the silver, and the gold, and went on and on and on, and the mines involved in the earth. You spoke of all the wonderful timbers that are, spoke of even the great timbers of in British Columbia, and said of 80 different shades of green there. 80 different shades of green. I never counted them. I know there are an awful lot of different shades of green in British Columbia. He said there are 80 of them. And then he went on to see the wonderful starry heaven and all the cattle upon the thousand hills that belong to him. And he said, you know, Jim, said, you know, like, this is one of the smallest of millions upon millions upon millions of worlds that came into being at his birth, and he's heir to them all. He's heir to them all. And now you tell me I'm a joint heir with Christ. Oh, she says, I am lost in wonder, love, and praise. All I can do is adore him and a magnified, wonderful name and yield my whole life entirely to him. Child of God, have you seen that tonight? You see what you've been brought into as a child of God? You're a joint heir. I'm going to share for all eternity all that God has given to his son. The wonder of it all. Little me as you grip your heart and grip my heart tonight, you'll be able to look up and say, Lord, thou art enough. The mind and heart are filled. Oh, fix my earnest gaze so holy of all than thee, that with thy beauty occupied, I elsewhere none may see. And oh, thy beloved fellow believer, when this truth dawns in upon you, you won't need to run away back into the world for a little bit of entertainment, a little bit of amusement. You'll find your complete satisfaction in Christ. You'll cry, now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's lasting joy. Where? Lord Jesus found in me. Oh, do you know him? Is he a living reality in your life? I'm sure he must be. An illustration? Alas, it is borrowed. Here's the illustration. A man went away in a Mediterranean cruise, and the cruise is going down through those beautiful blue waters of the Mediterranean. He took with him some packages of cream crackers and cheese, or crackers and cream cheese. And he took them with him, you see. He wasn't going to be hungry on this particular cruise. So it wasn't very long, not 2 days out sailing. One of the other passengers said to him, how are you getting on the cruise? Are you enjoying the sailing? Oh, wonderful sailing weather. Wonderful. I'm enjoying this so much. But he said, you know, those crackers and cream cheese are getting rather stale. Crackers and cream cheese? Aren't you going down for your meal to the dining room? Oh, no. He said that when I pass by that dining room, that smell comes out, I just feel so terribly hungry, but I can't afford it. You can't afford it? What do you mean? Haven't you got your ticket? Oh, yes, I got my ticket, all right. Well, he said, don't you know all your meals are included in your ticket? He says, pardon? He said, don't you know all your meals are included in your ticket? Now, you know what happened to the crackers and cream cheese, don't you? He just went overboard, and he went down to the next meal, and my, didn't he have a wonderful tuck-in. Now listen, friend, we smile at that man's simplicity. You might call it stupidity of your life, but aren't we inclined to be like that? Now face it. As Christians, aren't we inclined to be taking up little snippets here, and be feasting upon the poor old slam, the old corn of the land, can feast upon Christ and all his resurrection, power, and glory, that we might know him and the power of his resurrection? Oh, thank God we know our sins forgiven. Thank God we're not going to hell and not our one way to heaven. Thank God, oh, it's wonderful to be saved. Hallelujah, Jesus is mine. But is that all the land you've got? Or have you entered into your possessions in Christ? Are you possessing my friend? I say very lovingly and tenderly, the very moment you receive the ticket, I refer to Christ. The moment you receive Christ, you have everything God had for you. And all this is at your disposal. Is that real? All this is at your disposal tonight. But he wants you to enter in by faith and appropriate your position in Christ Jesus. He doesn't give you everything lock, stock, and barrel. He is your patience. He is your love. He is your purity. He is your power. He is your grace. He is your life. And you must appropriate moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, I've light from above. Moment by moment, the glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. Oh, how I wish I had time to develop this. But may I draw your attention to a very beautiful thought that I'm about to close. Where Sarah was found in house, and a swallow nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even I an altar. The sparrow is the most worthless of birds. The swallow is the most restless of birds. The swallow is always on the wing. Remember the Lord Jesus said one day, what is a man, what are you not of more value than many sparrows? I know that one, two sparrows throw for a farthing, five sparrows for two farthings. The Scotsman always buys two farthings worth because he gets one for nothing. You see, but it's that odd sparrow that's precious to him, that odd sparrow, says, are you not of more value than many sparrows, all ye little faith? An illustration, a true illustration. It happened in Hamilton, Ontario, in Canada. The Bell Telephone Company were placing a cable down one of the avenues in Hamilton, Ontario, and to do so they had to uproot a lot of those wonderful maple trees. Some people really objected to it, you know. But they had to come up. They came to this particular tree, and the foreman of the gang, he looked up, and he saw there a sparrow's nest. It was nesting time, and he saw the sparrow's nest. He said, wait a minute, fellas, and he put the ladder up, went up the steps, and looked in. What did he find? He found five sparrow's eggs. Well, he said, we can't knock this tree down. We must let the little sparrow hatch out her eggs. So the men were quite indignant and said, why, we can't waste our time because of a sparrow hatching her eggs. We've got to get this tree knocked down. The foreman looked and said, if it were your wife, what about it? That changed the tune. See, we'll start at the other end of the avenue and we'll work back to the tree. And that's what they did. When they came to that tree, he put his ladder up, he looked in, the shells were there. The eggs had hatched out, the birds had flown. Some of the men are so curious now, they said, bring that nest down. And when they took down the sparrow's nest, what do you think they found in the bottom? You know, one of those little Sunday school texts you'll get to your primary. Sometimes a little house in it, sometimes a little bird, sometimes a little flower. This one had a little sparrow. And you know what the text said? Are you listening carefully? I will trust in the Lord and not be afraid. That's the God I know. That's the God you know, isn't it? Amen? Friend, listen. I will trust in the Lord and not be afraid. That great, omnipotent, all-sufficient God is the one who could change the course of those workmen. That little sparrow may hatch at her egg. I'm only a little sparrow, a bird of low degree. My life is of little value, but the dear Lord thinks on me. My food is sometimes scanty. Close pecking makes it sweet. I've always enough to feed me, and life is more than me. Shall we pray? We'll have 1 moment silence, and in that moment let us have a quiet word with the Lord for ourselves. Let me ask you very lovingly and tenderly, do you recognize him tonight as the God of power? Do you recognize him as the God of all provision? The God of all preeminence? Because when he is preeminent in your life and my life, dear child of God, there is power. There is no want, there is ample provision.
Then we know his program for our life, his eternal purpose for our life. We know his wonderful protection. But he must be upon the throne, reigning Lord supreme without a rival. Will you with me right now pray sincerely? Reign over me, Lord Jesus. Reign over all within. Make me a loyal subject to thee in everything. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit that all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer, to whom be glory both now and forevermore. Amen.
Hymn number 312. 312. Now I want you to notice the words of this grand hymn as we sing it tonight. 312. Jesus, our Lord, with joy we adore thee, chanting our praise to thyself on the throne. Blessed in thy presence we worship before thee, all not worthy and worthy alone. Number 312. This is a real hymn of majesty, hymn of worship and adoration. As he now fills our vision, I know your heart just wants to sing this, doesn't it? Your heart is lost to sing this, Jesus our Lord, right?
Jesus our Lord.